from the top, 9 o'clock, 97.5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Tyler Zuli producing, I'm Devon Givens. 2 hours in, that means we get to the 9 o'clock hour, my favorite hour of the evening. Joe Torti, high five to my left. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, D, I would give you a high five. I don't want you to have to contort the wheel in any kind of weird way.
Yeah,
so.
Got the ice pack on and got the leg propped up.
Yes.
So I got to, slide over.
Mental high five.
Hey,
don't
man.
Sweat it.
High five, Raul Nato. That's your backup point guard. I don't know if he's your backup point guard or your third string point guard. We don't know how much he'll play, but he's on a veteran minimum deal, according to Shams Charania. That is your newest addition to the Philadelphia 76ers, 4-year point guard, all with the Utah Jazz.
I have seen as much of Raul Nato as I have seen of a tornado in person. So if people seem to be excited about it, I've got to go back and do the research now and go see if I can find highlight videos and stuff
You'll
like
have
that.
Some.
Breakdowns
yeah.
and stuff.
He's played enough games to have highlight packages.
I'll find it. But yeah. This is the presumed backup point guard, right? This is the TJ McConnell replacement.
Is he or is it Shake? That's the question.
Well,
we don't know.
Either way, it's the presumed TJ McConnell replacement because TJ is probably backing up Shake at this point anyway, moving into this season.
And you know how I feel. I personally believe that when it all comes down to it, depending on how many minutes he gets, Josh Richardson is your secondary ball handler when Ben Simmons comes off, unless they come off together. I would think Richardson actually comes off the floor first because Ben normally plays the entire first quarter. I don't know how Brett is going to decide to go about that with the balance of the minutes and all, but Raul Nato in 1 year minimum deal. They didn't have a lot of options with the money that they spent.
No, and when you look at their exceptions that they've had, you look at the amount of money that they have, how snug they are to the cap at this point, you're going to see a lot of these moves over the course of the coming months just because there's not a whole lot of wiggle room to work with anyway. So, interesting about Milton. I was thinking about him the other day and I was like, you know what? Like, Milton was a guy who was projected to go in like the late teens, and then during the pre-draft process, just tumbled. Yeah, exactly.
Got hurt. Yeah.
So we were always talking about like, oh, you got to find something, make it work. Find your Draymond Green. Do your research. Find these guys. Clearly, the Sixers feel like Shake Milton's enough of that to give him a 4-year deal. That kind of leads you to believe that they have a lot of confidence in what he can bring to the table here.
Because when we've heard about the 4-year deal, I haven't read anything. I don't know if you have about if it's 2 guaranteed, 3 guaranteed,
right,
team
I haven't
option
seen that yet.
In year 3 or 4, anything like that. We know the money is probably going to be a minimum contract. However, we don't know if they're all 4 guaranteed yet. That will say a lot.
Well, especially considering the fact that you've locked up the core to all of these 4 and 5 year deals, right? Or whenever Simmons signs it, it's going to be locked in. You would think that for any non-core essential piece, you're talking about a 1-year deal, 2-year deal at the most. So the fact that you have Milton on potentially a 4-year deal, regardless of how many actual years guaranteed, kind of raised my eyebrows and thought, okay, well, this guy's going to be a piece moving forward, right? Because everywhere else, you'd be looking for cap flexibility and contract flexibility anywhere that you could get it. I know some of those are tradable too, but I thought it was interesting that was the length of the deal as well.
And when you say that, that just brings you to Zaire Smith, rookie deal, right?
Yep.
Long term. Matisse Thybulle, long term. And when you look at the other guys, James Ennis, Mike Scott, Kyle O'Quinn, everybody is on a short term deal. And Raul Nato, everybody's on a short term deal right now. Well, those guys have their rookie deals where they can continue to build and get those qualifying offers and extend their careers here in Philadelphia. And Shake gets the 4-year as a second round draft pick. So nice work by him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know who hasn't been doing nice work?
Who's that?
The New York Knicks.
Ooh.
Yeah, you saw this, I assume, from the New York Post saying that the Knicks reportedly canceled the meeting with Kawhi Leonard in fear of missing out on other free agents. You know,
that's all you get from me.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
it's the Knicks, man.
Were they worried about missing the Bobby Portis meeting? Were they worried that the Wayne Ellington thing wouldn't come together?
Who I wanted on the Sixers, by the way. Here's the one thing I'll say about the deals that they gave.
Yeah.
Ellington, Portis, Randall. Not Randall because he got a 4-year legit deal. Portis.
You got three, right?
Three, pardon me. But they're all guaranteed. All those deals they got for those veterans are 2-year deals, team options in year 2.
Yeah,
so
fake.
They do give them opportunities to jump back in there next year and possibly steal someone. I don't think it'll happen, but it was a, it's a good idea. So if it doesn't happen, what they can do is pick up those options on those players if they're not getting a good read that they're going to be able to pick up some of those guys. But the Knicks doing Knicks things, and I know some people with the Knicks, and my dad is a Knicks fan. My step-pop, who's like, you know, my dad. And I because of our schedule that we have here and my responsibility with the Sixers and doing these shows with you at night and all during the season, I'm like, all right, they keep saying, when you bring your dad? And I'm like, yeah, you know, bring my dad. And when the Durant thing was about to happen, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to take my dad. Now I think I'm going to be able to take my dad out to New York to the Garden and check out the Knicks because they're going to stink again.
Well, ask, make sure to talk to him and see how he's going to feel when they miss the Draymond Green meeting because they don't want to miss out on, you know, a Kyle Korver sit down or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
They don't want to miss out on those opportunities.
Hey, man. Well, the Kyle Korver thing, if he is bought out, Lakers are going to be an option. Bucks are going to be an option. Sixers are said to also be an option. Who would you choose, and would you be okay if he did decide to come here?
Who would I choose were I...
If you were Kyle Korver.
So tough to tell what's important to Korver, right? You would think at this point, you're looking for the combination of the money and the opportunity to win. Like, Chicago wouldn't be all that interesting to me if I'm Kyle Korver. Philadelphia would be more interesting, I think, because of obviously the tie, and he was really well received here. You have the opportunity to be on a competing team and also play a very specific role. And there's not a whole lot of other guys competing against you in that role.
Shooter.
Like, that's about it. So
yeah, you've locked that down.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. If I were Korver, I'd give it a long look.
Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, probably.
He's only going to play like 10 minutes max if he plays, whatever he plays.
Look, at this point, as far as I'm concerned, the team's the team. Like, there's going to be no more, like, earth-shattering moves. They just don't have the money. Like, they just don't have any more wiggle room to have something that's jaw-dropping. So if a guy can come who can do a thing, like Kyle Korver can do a thing, I'm cool with it. I think that's fine. I know that some people are like, oh, really, Kyle Korver? But it's like, come on, guys. Like, look at how many people are signed. You're almost done.
And again, look at the teams that are trying to add him. The Bucks,
right?
The Lakers. Why aren't you one of them?
Exactly.
You are one of them, and you should be one of them because of where you are as a team right now in the pantheon of the NBA. You have to go out there and get these guys like that, Kyle Korver, and try to bring him to your team to provide that outside shooting.
Has familiarity, though, with some players in Los Angeles, obviously,
LeBron
Korver does.
James.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it does make a difference. Milwaukee would be interesting. Just feels like Milwaukee's got shooters all over the place, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess he would maybe take that Mirotić role.
Right, yeah.
Maybe not as minutes and he won't start, but take that role.
Then find a way to get $60 million overseas or whatever, same way that Mirotić did. That's a good path, man. There you go.
Style, life, you know, living.
Yeah, take a nap in the middle of the day.
Two games a week. Why not? Why not?
Practice?
No.
Come on, man, I'm from the league.
No doubt about it. Scott and Blackwood joins us next. Thanks for hanging on, Scott. You're on the Fanatic.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I want to get to 2 points, and one is that Elton Brand really navigated some very treacherous waters here and came out with a team that is equivalent, if not better, than what we had a moment ago, and I just want to give Elton Brand a hug, honestly.
he'll accept that.
He's a hugger.
He's a hugger. Right.
Nah. And
he'll greet everybody that comes up to him at the game, so I'm sure he'll be happy to speak with you about that. Yes.
Cool. My second is on the day that TJ McConnell is leaving. I just want to say that man is what the process is, and coming into the league undrafted and just creating value for himself. That's exactly what the process is about. And the 76ers as a concept continue to roll on, even if TJ or Covington or whoever isn't a part of it anymore. But players like that are what created the value that turned this process of all these James Michael McAdoos and processors into a team that, dare I say, has almost no major holes anymore. So much respect and much gratitude.
Yeah, I like what Elton has done, Scott. Thanks for the call. And now just, again, as he pivoted from Jimmy Butler, getting Josh Richardson with that, jumping right in because he knew it was waiting, just waiting for the thing to become official with the trade, getting that player in Al Horford, and then doing all these other deals, Mike Scott, Tobias Harris, James Ennis, Kyle O'Quinn, now Raul Neto, locking in Shake Milton, the things that he's done, I think he's done a pretty nice job. When you look at the roster overall, Joe, they have the 12 right now, more than 12, they have 14.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at this and say, okay, all these names from the starting five, the Scott, Ennis, Thybul, Smith, O'Quinn, Bolden, Shake, Nato, and two-way guys potentially. One we do know is Norvell Pell.
Sure.
Shaik maybe being another option as a two-way player. Yeah. How do you look at this roster right now, knowing that, again, you didn't love it with everything that happened all the way back to the draft to where they are right now? If I asked you a letter grade, what would you give the offseason so far? Knowing how you feel overall, knowing how you felt as things happened in the moment.
So I think overall, probably somewhere between like a B and a B plus, like that's somewhere.
Nothing
in that
wrong
range.
With that.
There's nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
It's not anything where it was jaw dropping. Like, I don't think that they did anything that just rocked your socks. I do think, though, that based on the new information that's come up with the shakeup with Sixers management, et cetera, that this is kind of the first that we're seeing Elton Brand have an offseason to actually go and do the work and be able to mold the roster exactly the way that he wants it. A question's emerged for me, and it's the same question that exists in every single sports organization, period, where these two people are different guys. Is there going to become any kind of a conflict between Brett Brown and Elton Brand, right? Is Brett Brown going to be thinking in any way, hey, these are all new pieces, it's a completely different group of guys outside of a very specific few people, you know, it's not what I wanted. It's not. Now, I assume that it's some kind of collaborative process as they're evaluating these guys, but in every single organization, unless you win championships, there will always end up being a rift between the GM and the coach. That's just like the way that it goes. I wonder if that happens now.
If we believe that Elton Brand is making all these moves, this is his construction.
Oh, yeah.
This is his roster, but you would have to think that they also have had many of conversation about the type of player that they want, knowing that how they lost in the second round to Boston and Toronto the last two seasons. I have to think that these conversations were had.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, at the same time, if you're Elton Brand, right, you're the boss. You are Brett Brown's boss at this point. So it's like, hey, these are the pieces that I think we need to win. These are the best guys that we can get. I wonder if at some point, like some callers have said, it's like, hey, if you can't get the job done with these pieces, I'm going to find somebody who can. So,
oh, I think that is definitely in the cards.
If 100%.
If they don't get to a certain point, I believe that's in the cards. No question about it.
Even if we talked about this before, D, even if it doesn't look right, even if like early on things don't look right, I mean, I don't know if the clock gets reset, you know, because we were talking about it, and when they came out and said that Brett Brown's going to be back and be the coach, we were kind of operating under the assumption of, like, it's going to be the run it back time, and then if things don't look right early in the season, then he might have a short leash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're back to process Brett Brown, where it's like, look at all the new pieces that he has. How can you expect him to integrate all of these guys, you know, early on? So I'm going to be really curious to watch the coaching dynamic. I'm not going to be the one who says, and people have called and said, oh yeah, they're never going to win because Brett Brown's the head coach. I don't know about that, but what I do know is that it's a completely different situation than we expected. One of the big parts about run it back was like that you're going to have a whole off season to work together. It's not really going to end up being the case now at this point.
Well, but he's got an off season to figure this one out.
Yes.
This construction, this current roster, and the level of the unselfish players that it seems that they have in Horford, Richardson, Tobias Harris as well. We know Ben is unselfish sometimes to a fault. How are you going to figure this entire thing out? 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Joe will run until midnight, then solo. Not completely solo because the great producing from Tyler Zuli will be done at that time as he is currently doing right now. 610-632-0975. And again, Raul Neto, a member of the Philadelphia 76ers, according to Shams Charania, on a one-year veteran minimum deal. Now another new piece to the 76ers roster for Brett Brown to figure out how this rotation is going to go. Bill in Schwanksville next on the Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Devon. How are you?
Good, man.
Hey, guys. I hope you're doing well. You know, Devon, I haven't talked to you since free agency. You can probably guess how I'm feeling right now.
Yep.
You know, I'm upset. You know, Butler's one of, you know, maybe less than 10 guys that could finish off games and take over and control, especially in the fourth quarter. So I'm upset about that. You know, and Tobias getting that money. Me personally, and I'm upset about, obviously, Simmons. You know me. You know, you can't give somebody a max contract who hasn't proven he'll shoot the ball. So, you know, and that kind of goes with the Butler thing. I feel, you know, the Sixers are almost coerced in a sense to go with like a Simmons and this and that. And, you know, I think Butler, you know, looks at Simmons as a Wiggins 2.0. And he looks at Brown as somebody who's too docile with his superstars, you know, with Ben, you know, like, and Embiid. And I think that really bothered him. And that's me, you know, because it would bother me, you know, if I was in his position. Like I said, I think, you know, he kind of lets them get away with too much, especially the Simmons thing. And I think they're riding that Simmons coattail, him being the number one pick. They didn't want him going to, like, you know, signing somewhere else after the season and going through all that. And I think that hurts himself. So again, to me, Devon, we're still back in that thing in the playoffs where if he's not going to shoot the ball, we're never going to win. We're never going to win.
Well, that's why we always bring it up, man.
Yeah,
the natural growth and progression of who he's going to be. He has to shoot the ball. Bill, thanks for the call to be that complete player. As we know, he has to. It's something that's imperative. He's going to have to do it. We talk about it constantly. But even with that, listen, like you mentioned, Joe, Brett Brown is going to have a job to do. He's going to have to do his job, figure this whole thing out. Everyone else is... Ben is going to have to figure out if he's not going to shoot the basketball, he's going to have to raise his level of play in different areas.
Right.
Finishing at the rim strong, knocking down the free throws, right? So these are things that he's going to have to do. He knows he has to do it. And then you give it to him because you project it out, not because he can't shoot. You don't not give it to him because he can't shoot. You don't not give it to him because you don't think he can play. They think he can play clearly, and they believe that he can improve on things. You give these contracts based off the fact that you believe that the progression of that player is going to then raise to another level.
So there have to be two paths here that the Sixers saw with Simmons, right? And you use the word that I think is a perfect word to use, a natural progression. And I've said this before, and this is why I've said this. It's not a natural progression for a non-shooter to start shooting. That's right. Unnatural. Like, right. I can't think of one other case of that in the NBA. Can you?
No.
I can't think of one. So
no.
The other path, like it would be stupid for them to give him $170 million on the basis of like, oh, he's going to start shooting. Like, that's really foolish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The other path you just talked about, where you raise everything else, you're more aggressive going to the rim, you're a better free throw shooter, so you're more confident with the ball in your hands as a point guard at the end of games when you're ahead and everything else. Like, you can look at that progression and say, all right, that's good enough for you to get the 170 also. So the natural progression is what I'm looking for. I really think that him adding a shot would be an unnatural progression, like based on what we've seen. Like it's not like he had one season in the NBA where he didn't
thing.
Shoot. Yeah, exactly.
But see, that's the puzzling thing about it. He used to shoot the ball.
Well,
he used to shoot. You've seen it
in high school.
Yeah, but he shot it.
I didn't see it in college.
Because,
right?
Again, he didn't have to then either. He didn't have to do it in high school. You know what he was doing? He was toying with guys and just doing it because he could do it.
Right.
When he got to the next level in college, he saw a different way where he didn't have to do certain things, and he destroyed them that way at LSU. Now it's more of, all right.
Right. Well,
I don't know.
So what's changed?
I don't know.
Bigger?
Well, talent has gotten better.
Stronger, faster. More athletic, more developed. No,
his opponents.
Him.
Oh, him. Okay.
Right? Bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic.
So he didn't work on the thing that he already had once he got bigger, stronger, faster, and all that stuff.
Don't need to do it. Right?
Don't get started because then you're going to get...
by the way, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm saying that that's what the facts are.
Sure.
Like, by the way.
Don't get started. Because I'm going to start getting texts. You're going to start getting texts. You're going to start getting tweets. I'm going to start getting tweets. We're going to get the phone calls. And people are going to be like, well, that's not going to be a winning formula.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't make him. There's no button on my controller. Like, I can't make him do it. Devon can't make him do it.
No.
We're not trying to blow smoke.
No. And there's no battery pack that you can just flip a switch and say, go do this.
No. So that's what I don't try to rile people up when I say that, D. It's more like we have to understand that this might be a reality and we've got to find a way to make this work in the event that this thing doesn't happen. You talk about a natural progression. For a non-shooter to just start shooting is an unnatural thing.
Is he a non-shooter? In the NBA, he's a non-shooter.
Definitionally, yes. Like, in that he doesn't shoot the basketball. So I would say yes.
Okay.
Non-shooter. Not bad. Not bad shooter. Does not. I'm sorry. I don't want to rile people up.
Man.
I know. I'm sorry, D.
Oh, man. Let's get away from this. Let's go to Tone and Glenside next on the Fanatic. Tone, what's going on, man?
Hey, listen, yeah. I got a lot to say, man.
Go for it.
Listen, everybody pump their brakes. Everybody pump their brakes. Now, let's say this. The Sixers will score 105, 110 points a game.
I agree they'll score over 100, yeah.
Now, defensively, they're only going to give up 90.
No, they're going to give up probably about 97, 98, but you're right.
Okay. They're going to stay in the 90s. Let's keep our opponent in the 90s. Now, this is why. Last year, we shot so many three-pointers because we could. You see what I'm saying? How many 21-point leads we gave up shooting three-pointers because we was up 3-4. We was up 21 points. We still shooting threes.
True.
Now, we got a team now that's going to body beat you to death.
True.
They're going to go from the left block to the right block. From the left corner to the right corner. They're going to 2-point you to death. We're going to shoot 65% from the 2-point area. While other teams are still trying to shoot these threes, before you know it, fourth quarter comes, we're going to be up 15 points by body beating them to death, destroying them in the inside. Far as Butler, we didn't offer him a contract. He averaged, what he averaged, Devon, what, 16, 18 points a game?
You're about 18 a night, yep.
Okay, you don't think Horford going to get us 15, 18 a game?
I say it gives you about 14.
Okay, but what he going to do is he's going to grab 5 to 10 rebounds, okay? Let Embiid do what he do best, because we was getting killed last year on the rebounds, giving up second chance points. So it's not about what we can do to others. It's not about how we going to stick to other teams. It's about how they going to deal with us.
That's the thing there. That's the thing there, Tone. So thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that. How are you going to score your way and then not allow them to get it their way?
Well, so Tone's point, I think, is totally valid, because I think it's going to be a lot harder to make up a 20-point deficit on the 2019-2020 Sixers than it was this past year's Sixers. I mean, and we talked about Embiid, Simmons, Butler all being good defenders on the team. Way more difficult to score on now, I think, overall. I mean, you've got Thibel, you've got Richardson. The issue that the Sixers
maybe
always
Smith.
Had, yeah, wing defenders. They've never had wing defenders.
And you can't have enough.
Yeah.
You now cannot have enough.
Now they've got a million, and they're looking for more.
Ben,
so, yeah.
Richardson.
Thibel.
Thibel, Smith, Scott, Ennis.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a million. That's you got a million wing defenders now.
Now the young guys have to prove it, but that's what they were brought here to do.
If Thibel can't defend the wings immediately, I could not be more out. You had one
on
job.
Draft, yeah.
One thing to do. That's it.
Yeah. 610-632-0975.
You better be ready, D.
We're going to get to Charles, Chris, David, Phil, and D. Hey, guys, we have one open phone line. So if you want to jump in on this conversation with Bennett, with Joe and I, I'm thinking about Ben Simmons.
Oh,
so,
yeah? Don't do that.
You shoot better? You're a willing shooter?
I am a volume shooter.
Yeah. Tobias Harris. 610-632-0975. Joe Torre, Devon Givens, Tyler Zulli producing right here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torre on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The summer nights keep getting hotter and hotter at Creekside Cabaret, Montgomery County's premier destination for upscale adult entertainment. You can find out all of the happenings at Creekside Cabaret by checking out their online calendar of events. This month, don't miss out on Creekside Cabaret's annual anniversary bash. It's a two-night event happening on Friday, July 19th and Saturday, July 20th. Don't forget, if you're having a guy's night out, Creekside Cabaret is your bachelor party headquarters. With a full bar featuring the top brands of liquor, domestic, imported, and specialty bottled beers. With VIP bottle service always available. You can start your night off right and come down to Creekside Cabaret's brand new extended happier hour from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday for great fun and great drink specials. Only at Creekside Cabaret. Open every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Montgomery County's only true gentleman's club, 3225 Advance Lane, right off 309 in Hatfield. Online at creeksidecabaret.com.
Warm weather is here, and that means one thing, yard season. Lucky for you, Hullett's True Value has everything you need to bring your yard up to snuff. Big plants, small plants, perennials, annuals, Hullett has it. Planters, mulch, topsoil, sand, Hullett has it. Need delivery? Hullett has it. Pavers, pottery, pesticide, Hullett has it. Gas grills, charcoal grills, smokers, Hullett has it. Path lights, fire pits, patio furniture, Hullett has it. Yard games, garden art, equipment rentals, Hullett has it. Hand tools, power tools, garden tools, yep, Hullett has it. Need an expert to talk you through your project? Need one of those moon bouncy thingies? Need to find everything on your list for a great price, all under one roof? Guess what? Hullett has it. In fact, there's just one thing that Hullett doesn't have. Enough time left in this commercial to tell you about everything else they have. So head into Hullett's True Value today on Ridge Pike and Lafayette Hill. Your destination for everything outdoors. If you need it, Hullett has it.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. That's why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
Try ZipRecruiter now for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Why wait for Black Friday in November when Dell's Black Friday in July is on right now, and it's our biggest one ever? Score incredible deals, including up to $400 off the very latest Dell and Alienware computers, including laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, get free shipping on everything. And don't miss out on an amazing selection of electronics and accessories like Bose headphones. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/Black Friday. That's 800-BUY-DELL for massive deals today.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is engineered with 4 levels of defense against gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. It's sort of like having ninjas protect your engine. That helps keep your engine running like new. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
The Tri-State Toyota Dealers and the Philly Ad Club have teamed up to provide scholarships to deserving college students. This spring, a total of $30,000 will be awarded through Toyota Philly Ad Club scholarships to juniors at participating Philly Ad Club universities. The Tri-State Toyota Dealers and the Philly Ad Club are proud to join forces to help deserving juniors by making these funds available through the Toyota Philly Ad Club scholarships.
Talk from Mount Laurel and all of Burlington County.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with you for another 32 minutes. Tyler Zulli producing the show, 610-632-0975. We started off with the window of the 76ers after all these moves, where you are and how you feel, and we've gotten everywhere
This
team. And but that's how fun it is with the offseason, how things have been, specifically the last four days since free agency got underway, where they have given us so many different angles to talk about this basketball team. So feel free to call in that way, any way you want to, with the squad, 610-632-0975. Charles has been waiting a bit, Joe, so let's get Charles up there in Philly on the Fanatic next. What's up, Chuck?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Great show.
Thank you.
I just want to make 3 quick points. Devon, it's always a pleasure listening to somebody that knows basketball.
Thank you.
First point, I really don't care about $100 million, whatever they gave Hartford. He's the best power forward we've had since Brand's first year here. He's going to shoot the 3, three, four, five times a game. He's going to defend. If you don't think he can defend, ask the Greek Freak or ask Embiid if he can defend. He's going to rebound for us. He's a great passer. Love the move. I don't care about the money. It's not like if we gave him $25 million less, we're just going to turn around and give that to Kawhi or somebody.
Well, I think more people are just looking at it depth-wise if you had that extra money. But I got you. I'm not worried about it. They gave it to him. I understand why they gave it to him. That's why I'm not worried about it.
Love the addition. Then I look at if we're talking about shooting. If I look at Richardson's three-point shooting percentage versus J.J., we're only talking about 1 or 2 3-points a game difference. So if I look at those 6 points that maybe he doesn't shoot as well as J.J., I look at the defense, he's going to prevent more than 6 points. So that's a win for me there.
That's an interesting counter, yeah, because people talk about J.J. not being a defender, and as much as he scores 18 a night, they will pick on him on the other end. You're right.
Yeah, and then finally...
But I wanted J.J. back, just to be clear.
And finally, I think you guys made a great point. Well, if I'm looking at Simmons, I don't care if he shoots another 5, 6, 7 shots a game. I'll tell you why. You just brought up, or you guys just brought up, field goals, free throws. If he shoots another and make another 4, 5, 3 throws a game, mm-hmm. he's up over 20, 21 points a game.
Absolutely.
He'd be a player with 21 points a game, getting me damn near 10 rebounds. Oh, I can say that.
Yeah,
almost
you're fine.
10 rebounds a game, 10 assists a game. That's a max contract player in today's NBA all day long. That's what I need from him. You put those things around Richardson and around Harris, we're looking good, baby. Definitely better. This team will beat last year's team and would have beat the team 2 years ago. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Charles. Thanks for the kind words for us tonight, man. Thank you. I mean, the counter of J.J., that wasn't a bad one with Richardson as good as a defender as he is. And I even saw a nice comparison that he would be a better version of Covington. They're both very good defenders, all-league defender types. Better, not as good a shooter maybe as Robert Covington, but he
way
takes
better
less
at putting it on the floor, though.
Exactly. Yeah, way he better. Does. Yeah, he'll get layups.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Robert Covington guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know you've had the conversation with him, like just... You know, after he misses one, you know, you wait a day because you want to let him cool down or whatever, and you just go, Rob, what's up, man? And he's like, I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that you're not going to have those conversations with Josh Richardson. He's going to be finishing a lot of those. A little bit of a flush.
No question. No question. Not a little.
Yeah. A bit of a flush. Now, his point about whether the Sixers would beat last year's team the year before, I think particularly relevant, right? Because we're talking about... I talk about the NBA as two different groups, right? You need to build a good team in order to make the playoffs, or at least have a chance in the playoffs. But after you've reached that like baseline level, you're trying to build teams for matchups, right? Like people are like, oh, you can't build a team to try to beat X squad or Y squad. Away. Sure, you can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you can. That's actually what you should be doing if you're going to be a top 4 seed, say, in the Eastern Conference for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years. You should be trying to figure out your chess match, how you're going to beat the Bucks, how you're going to beat the Celtics, how you're going to beat Toronto. Do you have any kind of Kawhi answer? Like, is there anything you could... That's what I anticipate the difference is between last year and this year. It's Elton Brand looking and saying, all right, I've got to figure out a way to stop all of these other teams. And I anticipate that, yeah, while he likes these players, he's trying to ultimately pick out spots where the Sixers are going to match up better with the Eastern Conference powers in the playoffs once they get here.
After they finished last season against the Boston Celtics, did the things that they did in the offseason, not a lot, but still a team where you felt like were good with Covington and Šarić and Markel Fultz potentially coming back because the news was that he was going to be out on the floor, right?
Yeah, Drew Hanlon told us that.
And he started and all of that stuff, right?
Yes.
How did you feel last year versus how do you feel right now? And I guess I can even ask you, once you got the Jimmy Butler trade moving, how you felt at that point about this basketball team?
My feeling about the team... improved over time up through the playoffs last year. So looking at those two time periods, I felt worse at the start of the season, better with the Butler trade, better with the Harris trade. And now I've kind of gone sideways because there are moves that I don't get or that I wouldn't have made.
Yeah.
But the team's definitely deeper than they were before. I don't know how much that means. Right. Like that's the conversation that you and I were having before about shortening the rotation. Like, I think that they're as good or better 1 through 8, but like, are they definitely, you know what I mean? Like with Jimmy Butler and JJ Redick, those are two nice pieces that you'd like to have. And those guys would probably be on this team either like 5 or 6. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? Like that's kind of where you'd be. So that's why I'm so curious to see how Brett Brown utilizes all of the new bodies that you have, because I don't think we've seen a team that looks this way before with the Sixers.
With the size and the athleticism and all of that stuff. Absolutely. The flexibility that Brett Brown has at his disposal right now, that's the other thing that's just intriguing to me, man. I can't wait to see how he devises things, because it doesn't have to strictly be how it was before. The dribble handoffs will be there. Mm-hmm. Let's not make no mistake about it, in my opinion. The dribble handoffs will be there, but there are other actions now that they may like to run a little bit more because of the fact that you have a guy at every position that can put the ball on the floor and create.
That's a good thing for Sixers fans. Do you think that that could potentially be a problem for Brett Brown? In that we've seen NFL coaches and offensive coordinators, we've seen NBA coaches. When you get new toys, sometimes it's easy to forget about all of the options that you have, or you fall in love with going one way or trying to get one guy going or whatever. It's a tougher balancing act when you have a more complete team as opposed to funneling everything through a LeBron James or funneling through a Kawhi Leonard or whatever. When you got all of these different interesting chess pieces, it's easy to forget about some of them. And coaches who forget about them often get called bad coaches. So I'm going to be curious to see if it's a pitfall for Brett Brown this season, too. That is going to be a tough balancing act.
Absolutely. D in Philly joins us on the Fanatic next. What's up, D?
D, what's up, man?
Ah, he wanted to talk about how the Sixers have holes, too. Let's see if he's there. But we'll pivot and go to David in South Jersey on the Fanatic next. Dave.
Hey, what's going on? I just want to make 3 quick points for Ben, Brett, and TJ McConnell. The first one, Ben, I think in regards to the contract, I think what a lot of people are forgetting is that for the Sixers, he's an international international star. And he lived up to whatever you would want a number one pick to be, even without the jumper, which I'm not a fan of at all. It drives me insane. But I think that he deserved it based on what he lived up to and the fact that he makes them more international business-wise. So I think that was also a factor in giving him that contract. I don't know if I'm too far off, but I think. And then regarding Brett, hello?
Yep. Yeah, we're here.
Okay. And then regarding Brett, Joe, you just touched on the point that I was going to make, is I'm interested to see if Brett is going to be able to let his security blanket, a.k.a. his schemes and sets, go and deal with what he has. I thought last year that was really why they had problems, why they lost. And I know it sounds simple to throw it on Brett, but I thought to myself, this was such a tight series that a move here, Brett, a move there, that's unconventional. You guys may have pulled it off. So I too, am very interested to see if he can pull it off. But my main point I wanted to go was to T.J. McConnell. Really quickly, I'm a guy that was a true fan of his. I'm talking, somehow he caught my eye when he was at Duquesne. And I used to call him the gritty, the gutty T.J. McConnell. So it was such a pleasure when they drafted him, when the Sixers picked him up to watch him. And I'm proud of the kid like I know him, like as if we grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool to see him be able to go off. Because I also said, last year I was saying that, this might be my last year with T.J. If I was general manager, I would tell him, you're not coming back. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to go off into the NBA and do your thing. So that's all I had to say. I just want to say great job, guys. But that's really my thought process, that I'm wondering too, like Joe, like, so Brett, what are you going to do? Are you going to build your system around them, or are you going to just put them in your system and say, this is what we're running, dribble handoff, you stand over in the corner? And if that's the case, I don't know how well the season's going to go.
Well, David, the problem with, and thanks for the phone call, man, appreciate it, last year was that you've got two guys who were coming from pick and roll systems that were really effective in pick and roll systems, and Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, and you don't have them in nearly as many pick and roll situations. Like, you're talking about dribble handoff offense. Jimmy Butler's the backup point guard. Like, Tobias Harris only lives in the corner for Embiid getting doubled. Like, that's the only look he's getting, is when Embiid gets doubled, he dumps it into the corner. Like, it doesn't surprise me that it took a lot of doing to get everything to come together last year. And if they don't think that they're going to be able to figure out how to incorporate that group again, why not blow it up? That's what they did this offseason. They totally blew it up and brought in a bunch of different pieces and totally restructured the team. Same questions, though, are going to apply. Like, not everybody's coming from a pace and space offense. What's it going to look like now with all of the new bodies and all of the heightened expectations?
610-632-0975. What is it going to look like? What's the window? We still haven't get Joe's thoughts on that as well. We will do that. The window of the 76ers team. Great topic brought up by Tyler Zuli. We've been talking about that a great deal tonight and just running around the entire roster, of course, with the players, Elton Brand, Brett Brown, all of that stuff, circling back to how good we think this team is going to be. 610-632-0975, final segment for us two together right here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Home prices have gone up by 50% in the last 6 years. However, it seems values are peaking. You've probably also heard the Federal Reserve has raised the Fed funds rate four times in 2018 alone. But mortgage rates have actually dropped by 0.5 point since late last fall. Maybe it's time to put that equity to work, like paying off very high credit cards, student loans, or remodel your house. Hi, I'm Wesley Hoagland with Westland Financial. Let us put you in a position to do any of these things with no closing costs. That's right. Nothing's rolled into your loan, whether it's conventional, FHA, or VA, will pay your title, settlement, lender, and recording fees. Or maybe you just want to refinance out of your mortgage insurance. All it takes is a five-minute phone call to see how we can save you thousands of dollars a year. So call Westland at 888-455-3669. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind. Call us at 888-455-3669. That's 888-455-3669. 888-455-3669.
Westland Financial Corp is licensed by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Department of Banking. NMLS number 3304. Not all loans apply. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Anthony Gargano. You know, bed bugs can tear your whole world apart. Oh, I'm shuddering just thinking about it. No matter how clean your house is, if just one bed bug gets in your home, they'll spread like wildfire. Oh, sure. You can buy a bunch of chemicals and steam the heck out of everything, but they'll spread to another room. If you travel, be careful. For bed bugs, you need the expert, someone that understands how they live and breed. You need Expel Exterminating. Expel built their business working with top-rated multi-housing management companies in Philly, performing thousands of bed bug treatments per year. Expel's technicians are all state licensed and trained. They offer a six-month bed bug warranty, prices up to less than 50% their competitors. To get rid of bed bugs and other skeevies, termites and roaches and ants and rodents and wildlife, whatever it is, call 877-BUG-FREE, 877-BUG-FREE, or go to expel1.com. That's expel1.com. Expel Exterminating. If it bugs you, it bugs us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get your vehicle ready for 4th of July travel. Right now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil Super Synthetic Motor Oil for $19.95. Protect against sludge and wear with Mobil Super Synthetic Motor Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. That's why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
Try ZipRecruiter now for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The Tri-State Toyota Dealers and the Philly Ad Club have teamed up to provide scholarships to deserving college students. This spring, a total of $30,000 will be awarded through Toyota Philly Ad Club scholarships to juniors at participating Philly Ad Club universities. The Tri-State Toyota Dealers and the Philly Ad Club are proud to join forces to help deserving juniors by making these funds available through the Toyota Philly Ad Club scholarships.
The weather's heating up, and at AutoZone, we have the Duralast batteries you can rely on to drive with confidence. They're proven tough, even in the most extreme conditions. That's because they're designed to improve performance and provide your ride with a powerful startup, which means you can count on them to deliver when you need it most. And they're available only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Joe Torti, Devon Givens.
Welcome back, D.
Hey, I'm here.
I was like, this doesn't sound right.
610.
All right, there we go.
I had the mic turned the other way. Yeah, off. Thanks, Todd.
The opposite way of on.
610-632-0975. Before we get to Chris, Ted, Aaron, again, a few open phone lines. Really, again, since this full hour that we've been together, 45 minutes, the lines have been full. So if you want to jump in, please feel free. 610-632-0975. I have to ask you this before I sign off at top of the hour. The window that we spoke about earlier, Tyler was saying maybe, again, this is a window where it's – this is it, and it may not go any further than after the Al Horford thing. Embiid and his health is the questions that we can't answer about his health.
Right,
that kind of thing. I believe the window is longer. I think that the moves like they did here with the starters specifically, and with the draft with Matisse Thybulle being a player that we think can contribute in the NBA. Where do you look at with this team, the window? How open is it?
So what were the two, like, official, like, is Tyler saying, like, it's a four-year window, and you're thinking it's like a seven-year window?
He's more saying it's shorter.
Yeah.
You know,
okay, so
because
you guys
of Horford and Embiid, right, Ty? And then I'm saying that it's really contingent on Simmons and Embiid.
Right.
Right now, the window that they have, the shorter one that Ty is talking about, it's there. But I also think it can be wide open a little more because of the natural, that we talked about, progression of your two young stars hitting in their primes. And as long as Elton Brand does his job, this window will stay open.
So at the risk of sounding like a cop-out, like I think that there are different kinds of windows that you look at, this Sixers team is going to be a competitor in the Eastern Conference for like at least the next 6 years in terms of being a very confident, competent team. But I don't know if it's even possible to say that the Sixers have a championship window until you see them get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like that feels irresponsible for me to be like, oh yeah, this team's so good that they can get here, because we've thought that the team was up for the task before, and it's been a second round playoff exit with two teams that I think everybody around here says better than the 2001 team that made it to the finals. So it's so hard to look at it. I don't know if they have championship stuff yet. Mm-hmm. So talking about how long is the window going to be open? I don't know if it's open yet,
but
in terms of them being champions.
But the belief is that they do have championship stuff.
By whom?
Many.
I got to see it. That's what it is. I thought that they
because
were
it's not it's not about the 50 wins anymore. It's not about the second round anymore. It's really. We're skipping the Eastern Conference Finals, to be perfectly honest
with
you, because of the talent base that they have, the defense that they will provide on the floor. This is a team that should, just like Milwaukee should, Toronto should, Brooklyn should, after next year, and Boston should all get to the NBA Finals.
So they could be around like those teams is what I'm saying, but like, it's so hard for me to be like, oh, yeah, they've got a 2 or 3 year championship window when I've seen Ben Simmons get shut down in the playoffs later rounds 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. When we haven't seen Joel Embiid last into the postseason, load management or not. We haven't seen the postseason coaching steps that we maybe hoped that we'd see from Brett Brown. Now, I do think, to be completely fair, he was very good in the Brooklyn series. I thought overall that was a pretty good coaching job by him. And early on in the Raptors series, he was clearly out coaching his opposition. But I don't know. It's hard for me to say that the championship window is X years long because I don't know if they have a championship window at this exact moment.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I mean, that's a different answer that we've gotten tonight. So, yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that a lot.
Don't want to cop out, though.
I hear you. I got it. 610-632-0975. Chris in Philly joins us on The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Devon. Great show, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, man.
Hey, so here's my thought from the window standpoint. I feel like the window's been open. They were a bounce away from a championship, in my view, this past season. And I think with a young core, they got a nice future in front of them. My question is, I think I got to believe that Ben and Joe will do what they need to do to become the superstars they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know what Horford brings to the table, and I think Tobias is going to play exactly what we need and score some points for us. This defense is insane. And when you look at the East, you know, even if Kawhi's in Toronto, you know, with Durant still hurt, I feel like the East is open. So I feel like the window's live. My question is on Richardson, though. You know, I've watched this kid a little bit, and I don't know a lot about him, but he seems on the rise. What kind of ceiling does this kid have?
All defensive talent. He has those type of capabilities. He is someone who has evolved with his offensive game. He was only a defensive player at Tennessee and turned things around in the pros once he got to the Miami Heat, and that's through work. So if this is a player like that that has worked to turn his seasons around into a 16-night-a-game scorer, a go-to option for the Miami Heat, he has all – I don't even know. I'm not even going to go as far as all-star. All you really want from him is – maybe 17 a night and give you that all defensive type of effort every single night where you hear his name in conversations as being a first, second team all defensive member.
He looks like he can do it, and his points keep going up each year, and he's young. I feel like he's getting a little wash under the table, in my view, because you bring Horford, who you know what he brings, and that's a huge piece to add. I was a little disappointed when Jimmy left, but now that I'm seeing what this Richardson kid can bring, I don't know, this team looks good.
No, it does look pretty good, and Josh Richardson is going to be fun, Joe.
Yeah, we talked about the things that he brings to the table offensively and defensively in terms of the athleticism upgrade at shooting guard relative to where the roster was last year. But even just listening to Chris there, like, that was actually a call that kind of speaks to what I was talking about with the championship window. It's like, I think that these guys will do, I think that Ben will do this, I think Joel will do this, I think Tobias Harris will do this. Like, it's a lot of things to have all come together at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Sixers have been snake bitten, man, from a luck perspective. So I don't know what it is. I've got to see that play out before I feel confident in it. I'm very hopeful. Like, I'm very hopeful that based on the fact that you've got Simmons and Embiid seemingly taking things seriously in terms of taking their next steps and their progressions, if I see it, I'll be the first one to jump on the bandwagon that you're driving,
yeah,
by the way.
No question. No question about it. 610-632-0975. We had to Voorhees to check in with Tim on the Fanatic. Tim. Ted. Sorry, Ted.
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Got you, man.
Hey, Ted.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
All right. Just a couple things I like to talk about. Ben Simmons. Everybody wants to talk about how he can't shoot and how he needs to work on the jump shot, right? Well, in my opinion, he just needs to go to the rim. There's so many times where I've watched him play, and he takes it to the rim. He has a wide-open layup and passes it off. And it's very frustrating to watch him do that because people talk about how he needs to develop this great jump shot.
Very.
That he needs to develop this jump shot that is going to make or break, you know, their season, whether they win a championship or not. But it's really just a matter of fact of him being aggressive. He seems very passive at times. And what was it, game two of the Brooklyn series when Embiid was out, he blew it up. He took it to the rim, I don't know how many times, but he ended up with 31 points. I mean, it just shows that when he wants to be aggressive, he's unstoppable.
Yeah, and now Joe and I were talking about this during the break. I think a lot of people forget, Ted, we get a sneak peek of those things when FIBA basketball gets underway in late August because he's going to be playing for the Team Australia squad. And those things that you're speaking about, getting to the basket, finishing stronger. He has to believe, you know, it going into that level of competition, even though there are a lot of pro players, all pro players, but not all NBA players, where he's going to look at them and say, and he can do whatever he wants to do. So is he going to do that? Is he going to get to the free throw line and convert? That type of thing.
Yeah, he just needs to be in the gym working on his craft. Like, he doesn't even necessarily need to be developing that 3-point shot yet. It's just a matter of fact of getting comfortable shooting free throws and finishing around the rim.
Well, that's one of the exit interview things from Brett Brown, Ted. Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
that has brought up the last two off seasons.
Two players, I mean, Magic Johnson, I think, is a poor comparison for Ben Simmons, and I think LeBron James is too. If you're looking at players that you should try to emulate, we've talked about Giannis a lot. We haven't talked about James Harden, and the fact that James Harden, from a mental perspective, took a completely different attacking approach once he was out of Oklahoma City and just showing that he was ready to be the man, be the one to shoulder the load. And also the fact that he just generates so many points at the free throw line. If you're looking at taking a next step, I think sometimes we ignore that, hey, James Harden could be a pretty good player for Ben to try to emulate from a game perspective. Not necessarily the step back threes, but the way that he manufactures points for his team. Ben could do that if he turns into a better free throw shooter. I think that'll lead to more aggression and more of a scorer's mentality. It's a thought that popped into my head there.
One thing before I get out of here, we brought up the importance of Horford for Embiid.
Yeah.
Think about the importance of Horford for Simmons with that passing that he has as a big man, as a four man, where he's able to get Ben maybe 4 or 5 extra points off of passes, lobs, cutting to the basket, bounce passes, whatever it might be that a big man is not supposed to make that Horford is very capable of making. So that's one thing that does get lost. We talk about him helping Embiid. I think he helps Simmons as well.
Year one of the Horford deal is going to be fun. I don't know what years 2 through 4 are going to look like. I know that year one's going to be
a
good time.
Yeah, it is going to be a good time. Well, I hope you have a good time the rest of the night tonight. Good time tomorrow with the holiday off.
Yes.
And certainly had a good time with Tyler Zulli producing the show. Ty, as always, thanks, man. Great topic tonight. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweets out there as well. Had a blast tonight. I'll be back on Friday with you guys at 7 o'clock. And Summer League gets underway, I think, at 3:30 for the Sixers' first game. So, Joe, I'm quite sure we'll be talking about something with Zaire Smith, Thiable, Shake, whoever it might be. We'll be jumping into some of the conversation with those guys.
In between, like, the inevitable throwaways and passes into the fourth row and stuff like that, we'll definitely be shooting texts back and forth, being like, hey, did you see this?
Yeah.
So I'll have plenty of notes to compare by the time
the night rolls around. You have a great show the rest of the night, man. I appreciate it as always. Good to be back with you. Be with you on Friday. Have a great day off tomorrow. Have a great holiday tomorrow. Everyone, be safe. Be careful. Have a little fun tomorrow on your day off. And I'll catch up with you on Thursday, Friday, right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.